Hello, true believers, and welcome to Dexcelsior, a podcast about Marvel Champions, the card game, which is a card game by Fantasy Flight Games. I'm your host, I'm Sam, and today I'm joined by a wall-crawling crew. We got Ben. Say hi, Ben.
Hello. How's it going?
It's going. And we also have Matt. How are you doing?
I'm doing.
You're coming a little robotic through to me. Can you say hi?
Testing.
Okay.
Hi.
Moist.
Okay. I'm going to leave that one in. All right. We also have Matt. Say hi, Matt. Oh, God.
Oh, is my con?
Hello.
Hi, Matt.
Hi.
Hi.
Feel like you're cutting out.
Yeah, like
really,
you're mad. Like I'll see green, but yeah, I won't hear your voice.
That was a pain.
I don't know. All
right. Okay, we'll try it again.
Oh gosh.
We're also joined by Matt. Say hi, Matt.
Hey, Matt. Do we have this time?
Hi.
A little bit. All right.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, we'll just go with that. Anyway, we're not joined by Carlos tonight. Carlos is in the midst of a move, so he will not be here tonight. But he told us something to say when we get to it, so hopefully we'll see him next time. But what are we going to be talking about tonight? Tonight we're going to be talking about Spider-Woman, and we're going to do a review of her hero set and then the player cards that came in her pre-built deck. We also have some Quicksilver hot takes, and that's gonna be about it. We might talk about deck building strategies with Spider-Woman after we review her. But first, I have a question for you guys, and my question for you tonight is, what were your thoughts on the Iron Man stream? Matt.
I don't know. I think it went pretty well. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. It's brain today, and I'm kind of slow.
Yeah. Brain equal not function. Ben, how was the Iron Man stream for you?
It was fun. It was slightly more stressful than I thought it would be. I think it was because we couldn't see each other's faces. So when people walked away from the game, we weren't always sure. If they had the lead for some reason. But the games were fun. I had fun. I was actually kind of surprised that we lost one game.
I wasn't surprised based on the ending of the Absorbing Man game.
Oh, no. Oh, man, the Absorbing Man game.
Just how that one ended, I was surprised. I wasn't surprised that we lost the next game. It was fun. I think we got like someone smacked us in the face with cold water after our loss against Taskmaster, and realized like we're playing the entire campaign. I feel like that's when it hit that we're playing the entire campaign. We need to focus.
I was afraid it would take longer, and I overestimated how much time it would take, which is the only reason why I was getting stressed out.
The stream was 9.5 hours, which is also, it's on our YouTube. If you want to churn through and sit and watch it, hopefully not all at once, because that's a lot.
There's some skipping you can do. Between games, there's a little bit, some breaks, but
yeah, mostly us just talking. And so, but overall, I mean, I really enjoyed doing it. I think I would probably enjoy it for every single box, but I feel like I've barely touched the game since then. So it's one of those things that you need time to recover from, but hopefully the next box isn't, I hope it's going to be harder, but hopefully we get our act together before we start.
Yeah, in retrospect, I don't think my deck was the best.
And we also, like, you know, didn't plan ahead. We literally, the night before, were like, here's the deck I'm playing.
And also, Carlos didn't even do that much.
Yeah, so. He didn't even build the deck list. He just had a physical copy.
His physical deck. He's like, oops, I need to make
this. He literally hops in, he's just like, all right, let me put this, upload this deck. Oh, I don't have one.
I mean, to be fair. Yeah, you don't need to do as much coordination in this game as in like Lord of the Rings or Arkham, I don't think.
Yeah, I think it mostly just like I think it would have been more beneficial to like sit down and realize we need to focus before we started playing. But then regardless, we did finish and we did win the campaign. So we even though we got stumbled by Taskmaster, we did end up winning. But now onto the Marvel Musing with Matt, the part of the show where Matt gives us a piece of Marvel trivia. Take it away, Matt.
So since we're talking about Spider-Woman today, I thought I'd give us some Spider-Woman trivia. But it's not about Jessica Drew. Because while she may be the first Spider-Woman, she was not the first Avenger who was a Spider-Woman. See, back in the 90s, after Jessica Drew disappeared, which was, I think she went into a coma officially when she came back with New Avengers, but there was a second Spider-Woman called Julia Carpenter, and she wore a costume that looked a lot like Venom, and in fact is what inspired the black suit Spider-Man when he got the symbiote.
Sure.
I assume that's a different person than Spider-Girl?
Oh, actually, she, I believe she eventually became Madame Web, because she got she has precog powers, right. And she passed her costume on to Anya Corzin, which is why she has that black costume. Okay. I think it was around Spider-Island, maybe? Oh. And it ties right into Spider-Girl there.
Oh. Interesting.
Thank you for that piece of trivia, Matt, and thank you to all of our patrons. Go to patreon.com/excelsior to check out how to become a patron and look over our reward tiers. You can get a shout out, get access to polls and surveys, and even be a guest in a gameplay video. All proceeds go back into the podcast and community. Your generosity is what makes you the true heroes of the podcast. So now we have, I'm going to move the gameplay corner up because we have plenty of news. So we're going to go on to the gameplay corner. So I'm going to start about what I've been playing recently in Marvel. Today, I actually got a game in against Absorbing Man on Expert. Because I wanted to see how he played outside of the campaign. And I just, you know, I do enjoy the scenario. I just think he's on the easier end. But regardless, I played him against with Spider-Man Protection. And my main goal was to defend all his attacks, block all the damage from his attack for all those, like, if he took no damage effects, and then just use, like, protection, big protection allies, and go after him that way. And it was fun. It was a longer game. I think I ended up with, like, 7 delay counters, something like that, which, I mean, I wasn't in any rush because I wasn't in a campaign, but I think the scenario is a lot more enjoyable. I feel like you get to see more of what he's trying to do when you're not in a rush to beat him. I think that's one of the issues he has in the campaign is that you're so rushed to beat him that you don't really get to experience the scenario. But that's what I have mostly been playing recently. Matt, have you gotten any champions recently?
No, not since the game, because I finished my new computer, so I've been catching up on all that.
Yeah, makes sense. Ben, have you played any?
Yeah, I've been playing on BoardGameGeek. There's this guy with the username Insmith Bear, and he is running a like solo league thing where he basically says you're gonna play this scenario with this, you know, hero and or this aspect. Like the first round was Rhino versus Iron Man, and you could pick the aspect, and the second round was Claw versus, or was versus, no, the first round was versus Claw, second round was versus Iron Man, or Rhino. The first round versus Claw, you were Iron Man, pick your aspect. Second round, you were playing against Rhino with aggression, but you could pick Miss Marvel, Black Panther, or She-Hulk. And basically get scored. He has a scoring system that is semi, he intentionally made it opaque, but basically you're trying to beat the villain as fast as possible with while taking as little damage as possible, and also having as little threat as possible. And you play three games and submit your scores in those three games. And it's really cool. It's been really fun to do some things I haven't done. Like, I played Aggression She-Hulk versus Rhino and just blitzed him and won, like, four rounds in two games. And then, like, five rounds in the third game. So that was pretty sweet.
Speaking of blitzing, have you guys seen the people going around about how they played, Captain Marvel Justice against the campaign and won in 15 hero turns?
The entire campaign,
15 hero turns on standard. It was on standard.
Oh, okay.
And I can buy that, maybe.
More sense. Yeah.
There's a video. The guy put a.
Oh wait, video. Standard. Yeah, I can buy that.
Yeah, he put a video up on YouTube. I will try to remember to link it to you guys, and then if I can remember, we might put in the description. But yeah, he basically like took Captain Marvel Justice, 15 hero turns, beat the entire campaign, so. On standard, it was
sure.
Apparently there's a guy who said he did it with let's say Hulk or She-Hulk. I think it was She-Hulk in 14 turns.
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. So like
definitely
that's something. I feel like you have to. There's a bit of luck in Red Skull, assuming you don't get the sleeper. But other than that, it's a lot of
yeah.
It looks one game fun. I did get in actually. Now that I think about it.
Go ahead.
We did our third game of the campaign crossover with against Taskmaster, and I managed to use the emergency teleporter to get Captain Marvel out the first turn with Spider-Woman, and then she stayed the entire game out because I just kept using med teams.
That's so good. I assume
that Taskmaster went better than our Taskmaster. Our Taskmaster was not great.
Yeah, but playing She-Hulk Aggression gave me more appreciation for She-Hulk and Aggression. Yeah. I just don't think she fits into the meta as much right now because, I don't know, we could have a discussion about it for later, but I think she'd be better if there were more villains focused on, you know, killing them quickly or doing a lot of damage early on.
Yeah. I just think... The problem with I feel like it's better in lower player counts, but the more players you have, I feel like the weaker aggression gets, except like aggression towards the villain gets. Against minions it's great, but against like the villain I feel like aggression just gets significantly worse the more players you add.
And I feel like this is probably a discussion for another time, different episode, but yeah, I feel like She-Hulk could I feel like that style of play is not very well supported right now, but it is very good when it is good.
Yeah. Well, now on to the Daily Bugle newsroom with Ben.
Right.
We have a lot of news, so let's try to get through this pretty quickly. What has happened recently?
All right. So apparently, the Black Widow movie was delayed to May 2021. I am personally not going to think too much about that movie until it's like released or has a solid, like until we get like a month away from its release and they're like, yep, we're releasing it. I'm not really going to be that.
Yeah. Well, it was supposed to be a month away from release I want to say next week, maybe it was supposed to be a month away. And then they just were like, because of how I want to say it was Tenet, how that did in the box office, Disney was basically just like, yeah, there's no point releasing it in theaters, and we want it to release in theaters, so we're just gonna wait until it's safer to release it in theaters.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, like I said, I'm not really focused on that. I guess if I was more like the Marvel movies for me have always been like, yeah, I'll see them when they come out. Except for like Captain Marvel and Endgame. But that's just a personal thing. I'll believe it when I see it, basically. I will probably go see that movie though if, you know, once the coronavirus clears up.
Yeah. Well, what else happened in the news?
Kang releases on October 2nd, so probably Kang will have released by the time this episode comes out.
Yeah, this episode's scheduled for the Monday after. So
unless you do some super fast editing work.
No. With my schedule, yeah, I know. No. I might maybe Saturday, but not Friday.
So yeah. I'm excited for that, but I don't think I've played Red Skull enough to really need another thing. But it'll be fun to see it.
Yeah.
Let's see. Sorry. Okay. Then we had a Quicksilver article and a release stream. That stream, they had Quicksilver spoilers. But they didn't have. They had Quicksilver spoilers. They played with Ant-Man and Wasp. Is that correct?
Yeah. So basically,
so I didn't actually see that.
They had they like what they normally do is they pull up the. I think except for Ms. Marvel, they did this. Is they pulled up the card images on Evan. He had his computer, mm-hmm. and they pulled up the card images, and then the people running the behind the scenes at FFG would put them up on screen. But they had the Ant-Man and Wasp pack in there. Like, they had the, I want to say it's their, like, the copies they usually use for those stuff. And so they played against Crossbones with those two heroes.
Yeah, so there's a lot of spoiled cards for Ant-Man and Wasp, but we don't really have time to go over those right now.
Yeah, those will be in the episode where we talk about the two heroes. But a lot of interesting stuff in that stream. I would recommend watching it just for that, at least.
Yeah, I need to really watch that stream. Sounds like fun. And I have seen the Quicksilver spoilers, and they are pretty exciting. So should we go into that?
Yeah, speaking of which, let's talk about them.
Okay, so the first one is Maximum Velocity, and Sam, do you want to read that card?
Oh boy, do I.
Yeah.
Maximum Velocity is a 2-cost event with a physical icon and superpower traded. Max once per phase. No, that must mean it's good. Hero action until you get +2 thwart, +2 attack, and +2 defense until the end of the round. Keyword the round. So if you don't have any stat boosters, you basically have 3-3-3. You get a ready, at least one ready in the hero phase and one ready in the villain phase. So you're automatically going to, at most, you could abuse all three of these stats if you wanted to that turn.
We could use defense twice, actually.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, it's just
so good.
Amazing.
Like,
that's like,
I didn't think about it last at the end of the round. That's right. So good.
And as they said, I think in the stream, Caleb said this. He was like, Quicksilver's the only hero that you are incentivized to defend with every single time because he always ready. So you always get one free defense with him. Which, if you got +2 defense, 3 defense, that's, especially with his 9 hit points, that's pretty good, especially if you have his defense upgrade, which we'll talk about in a little bit, out, or an armored vest out too. He's just
becomes a tank. Morale boost on top of this. Ooh.
Yeah. Or enhanced. Our magical enhancements.
Yeah, if you're playing with Strange. Or just, like, this is max one per phase, so I'm thinking there's at least 2 of them in his deck.
Yeah, if it's
not one, a guarantee, but it seems very likely.
Yeah, I would say if it's one per phase, I would automatically just assume there's a second copy. But unless there's event... Well, no. Unless there's event recursion in his kit besides the next card we're going to talk about. So I would guess there's two, but...
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I assume so. Which is really good.
Yeah.
Also, this card would be kind of bad on most heroes, but it's except really good on Quicksilver. Yeah, that's why I said most heroes. There are going to be exceptions. Or Iron Man, or Strange. Well, mostly Iron Man. But yeah. Anyway, so should we go talk about the next card then?
Yes.
Okay, we have Serval Industries. I'll talk about this. It's a one cost support. Has location and X factor traits and a mental resource. And it has alter ego action. Exhaust Serval Industries to shuffle two Quicksilver cards from your discard pile into your deck. So what do we think about this card?
Matt, do you have any thoughts?
It gives you more uses out of your always be runnings and even like your maximum velocity. It just really makes you consistent.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I also like that if you get this early on and you have a turn where you maybe you get a two of his upgrades and you can't play both of them out, you can still shuffle it back into your deck.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, I think the main thing is maximum velocity, always be running. There was another event with the title was spoiled. Depending how good that is, I think it was like double time or something like that. Depending on what that does, you might want to shuffle that in too. So I mean, I think it's if you're going back, if you're flipping back to recover anyway, it's a good ability.
Yeah, being able to reuse events, I think it makes us better in him than it would be in most heroes.
Yeah, especially because his events are so cheap. And we already know there's four copies of Always Be Running. So just seeing that all the time, especially with a maximum velocity turn, that's going to be good on its own.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. That is true. So I'm interested. This doesn't seem like the most powerful support alter ego action, but does seem useful.
It's better than Hawkeye's. Oh, wait, he doesn't have
one. Wow, shots fired.
That's not necessarily a bad thing, but...
No, it's... So then we've been talking a lot about his upgrades. So he has three hero-specific upgrades that have been spoiled. So, Matt, do you want to talk about them? They're kind of as a group.
Sure thing. First up, we have Accelerated Reflex, which is a two-cost upgrade with an energy resource. It's condition and superpower trait, and it says Quicksilver gets plus one defense. Next up is Hyper Perception, two-cost upgrade, mental resource, condition superpower, Quicksilver gets plus one thwart. And then Reinforced Sinew, which has a physical resource and same traits, and Quicksilver gets plus one attack. It's got one of each of them.
Boom.
I think it's really funny that the defense one costs more than the armored vest, but...
Yeah, it's like Captain Marvel's helmet, except you can't get another defense if you're aerial.
Yeah, so but he also gets a free defense every turn, so... Huh.
I know. I'm just saying.
It's actually probably the best example of balancing in this game with heroes, because, this is strictly worse than the Captain Marvel's helmet, but because of the context of the rest of the hero... That's okay, because
that's actually a fantastic point. Because it's really hard when we see a hero card that's like, wow, this hero card is better, but at the same time, Quicksilver gets a free defense, Captain Marvel doesn't. So of course his is going to be not as good because his is free. His one defense each turn, action each turn is gonna essentially free.
I feel like a lot of his kit is balanced around the fact that he gets a free ready.
Yeah.
Or at least one free ready a turn, maybe two. If he defends.
Two definite. Well, his ability is straight two. One per. Because unless you flipped alter ego, but.
Or you do something, like if you don't defend for some reason or something.
Why would you not? You get a free defense. Why would you not?
You defend? Might want to block with an ally if someone's attacking you for like 8. True. But yeah. What I'm saying is that because he gets so many free readies and he has the always be running, which lets him ready for very cheap, I think his stat boosters are way, way better on him than anyone else.
Yeah.
And all of his cards are balanced to reflect that.
Also, you can stack these with combat training, heroic intuition, and an armored vest. So if you're whatever aspect you're playing, you could double the, like, you could get plus, you could have that and the combat training and have 3 attack and a ready every time, the first time you attack each turn.
Yeah.
Also, I think overall, so far, this might just be a personal opinion, but I think his art overall that all we've seen has been the best set of hero art so far. That might just be a personal opinion, but I love all of his art.
Yeah, I think it's all custom, actually, because it's all commissioned, and it definitely feels a lot more consistent.
Yeah, it does feel a lot
even more consistent. Even if there's different art among most of them, like, even among the 3 upgrades, they have a different art, different artists.
Mm-hmm.
Like, always be running. But then it
still feels the same.
Yeah, like, always be running is probably, I would want, like, that's a really cool art piece. And same thing with maximum velocity. Like, his fist is smoking from how... Or no, it's not. Yes, it is.
Yeah. I just like how... I don't know. It really feels like it fits the game, this kind of art style. Mm-hmm. While others, they can be kind of divergent.
Right. Like, when you saw... I know this is a little tangent, but, like, when I saw Doctor Strange art for magical enhancement, I felt like that didn't fit the game at all. Hey. And then this is what I picture as, like, this and, like, Cap Hero art is, like, what I picture as like,
yeah,
for the game. But we should probably move on to the next card.
Okay.
So, I believe that's me.
Yeah.
So, Multiple Man. Okay, we have an interesting one. Multiple Man is a 4-cost ally with a mental icon who is not unique. That's very important. One attack and 2 health with consequential for each. So why does he cost 4 if he only has 2 health and only 1 attack and 1 thwart? Well, that's because after he enters play, you get to search your deck and hand for a copy of Multiple Man and put it into play. Shuffle your deck if it was searched this way. Well, that's also if you the Multiple Man that enters play, you get to search that one response triggers too. So if you play 1, you can search your deck for a Multiple Man, and then you can search your deck again for Multiple Man if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
He's very, for the Lord of the Rings players, it's like Filly and Killy.
Mm-hmm.
For those who remember that. So even though it's 4 cost, you're getting 3, it's stat spread over 3 different characters.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he's, like, you know, the first non-unique ally in the game, which is kind of cool. But I got a question for you guys. Do you think this is just a cool gimmick, or do you think this is actually pretty good? Because I'm leaning towards gimmick.
I think it's solid, because, like, it is defense. It's 3 defense from a 1 card, which is something. It's not the defend archetype we've generally been getting. It's something different, and I really like that. I hope if we get more X-Factor stuff like that, it'll be very interesting.
You can also, like, effectively thwart for 3 the turn you plan, because all of them can thwart or attack. Yeah. So you get 3 thwart or 3 attack, however you want to split up. But there are a couple of issues with Multiple Man.
I was about to say.
One, if he's in your discard pile, if there's a copy in your discard pile and you play another copy, you can't get that one back out of your discard pile.
No. This is just something I completely thought of. I don't know how good this will be, but I think it's kind of funny. If 2 people are playing Multiple Man, right? And I'm playing Spider-Woman Protection Leadership, and I make the call for your Multiple Man, and I put him into play. Let's say I have the Triskelion out. Just because I'm playing Leadership. I could search for my 3 copies of Multiple Man and put them into play. As well as your and have your Multiple Man. Also, because he's non-unique, if everyone in the game is playing protection, everyone can have three copies of Multiple Man if they wanted. So
yes,
you could have a fellowship, you could have a game where there are 12 Multiple Man in play, which I think is pretty, again, gimmicky, but pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hoping we get more non-unique allies. Maybe not necessarily like I know Multiple Man, obviously it's obvious why he's not unique. Mm-hmm. But like maybe like more like nameless characters, like I don't know, like Shield Agent or
I feel like they're using those more as supports.
Yeah, like Tat Team's basically a Shield Agent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And B Cop.
Like to me, Ally is a team up. It's okay, Spider-Man's finding this guy saying, hey, look, that's Wolverine and the Thing helping him out.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you have, like, a Nick Fury hero, though, you're calling on your troops? I don't know. I feel like I don't think it'd be something that'd be we'll more see support, for a while.
Like, if he was,
yeah, maybe it'd be interesting.
Yeah, that could be an interesting gimmick. Well, if we get, like, a Multiple Man hero, I kind of wanted just his 15 to be a bunch of Multiple Man allies.
With different stats and abilities and stuff, that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. This is completely off topic, but if you so you know how Rocket replanted the Groot, the piece of Groot, and he grew to baby Groot. If you took a bunch of pieces of Groot and grew them separately, will they all be Groot? And could you have multiple Groot? Because if so.
I think it works like the what's it work like? Like the T-1000, I guess maybe. I know, like there's a master particle or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just wondering. All right. But I think we should move on to the next card.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll read this one. It's called Never Back Down. It's a one cost event, the defense trait and the physical resource. It's another protection card. It's a hero interrupt defense. When you defend against an attack, you get +2 defense for this attack. If you take no damage from this attack, stun the attacking enemy. Cool. So this is like, what's that card? Desperate Defense. But instead of readying, you get a stun.
Which, what do you think? Because
I love electrostatic armor, so I think this is bad.
It depends.
I
feel
like... I mean, it's an extra... Like, maybe I'm just biased because I play Spider-Woman and that's already kind of Titan protection. But I can see this in a deck for just, like, a defending deck. Because it kind of blocks an extra attack.
You could also... If you think outside of solo, right? If you're defending... Let's say the first you defend and you know the person after you... or maybe like depending because you can defend for other players, whatever. And let's say a player doesn't want to take an attack, you defend, you stun the enemy before they can attack that person.
It is interesting because in multiplayer, stun doesn't stack, you can't stun the villain twice. This kind of gets around that because if they can clear the stun and then attack, and then you can restun them with this. And if they attack again that turn, then that attack doesn't go off. So that's sort of interesting.
Yeah, I think it'll be... I don't know. I mean, like, I like Desperate Defense because that you is the ready. A lot of heroes, you know, you get the extra defense. But this could also be, instead of, you know, getting ready and just defending for someone else, because Unflappable is one... It's basically once per round because of the exhaust. You could use this alternatively as well as Desperate Defense.
Like that's a bunch of defenses you get. And...
Yeah, I'm not sure how well it'll fit into the meta. I think it's a fine card. I'm just not sure where.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good card. It's also deck dependent. Like you have different choices. You could run both if you want. It's going to give more options for defending decks, which I think...
Running one, you probably want to run the other.
Yeah, plus, you know, the same thing as, like, you know, the things we said for the other ones, you know, energy barrier, shield block backflip, stuff like that, that cancels damage will help this trigger. But Also, at least it's like clear. Sorry, you can go.
I like it in the Hulk protection deck because it's got physical icon.
True.
So that's something going for it. If physical matters more, then this card gets better.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Definitely. I don't know. I feel like you could go talk about every hero and see how it fits with them, but.
I think it's a good card. It'll be interesting to see how it fits.
Yeah, when we get to play with it more, we can talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have one more card to do. I think that's Matt's.
Do we? I thought we got them all.
Yeah, no.
United.
It's a card.
Wasn't United already spoiled?
No, that was spoiled in the stream.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. So United We Stand is a zero-cost leadership event with the physical resource and play only if your identity has the Avenger trait. Heal 1 damage from up to X friendly characters to a maximum of 3 characters, where X is equal to the villain's stage number. I love this card. It gives it's really nice for give some theme to an Avenger leadership deck as opposed to we're going to be getting Guardian soon and then potentially others.
I do like how this interacts with Avengers Assemble, where because a lot of the problems I have with Avengers Assemble right now is when I attack to exhaust the character to let me play Avengers Assemble, I'm making him take consequential. And like, if I want him to stick around longer, the ready isn't as useful. But if I have something like this, I play Avengers Assemble and then I play this.
Really like how this scales with the villain stage, because I don't think you're playing this if you're not, unless you're playing on expert, because spending a card just to heal one character is meh, but once you can start getting 2 or 3, then it's
let's be honest, if you're building a constructed deck, you should be playing on expert anyway. Especially leadership. So I feel, but like the only scenario so far that this doesn't work in is Wrecking Crew. But like, who cares? Because Wrecking Crew.
It's also interesting.
I play this in Wrecking Crew and I'd still win.
Yeah, of course you would. It's Wrecking Crew.
But yeah, I'm Ken, because Ken always has 1, 2, 3, as opposed to 2 and 3.
I'm excited to see this effect of going off the villain stage number. I'm excited to see what other effects we get based off of that condition.
Mm-hmm.
Because that seems like something so... I guarantee
they have some kind of attack event or something.
Yeah, or like maybe a threat thing. Like remove a threat from a scheme equal to the villain's stage number or something. Which that's such a cool design space that I think that is so easy to overlook. I'm glad they saw it. But that is all of the cards for Quicksilver that we have seen so far. We will do a full review once he comes out. I think he comes out in December. Don't quote me on that.
As our last announcement, it should be last December, but Ant-Man got pushed back a month, so who really knows?
Yeah. Maybe January? I'd say December or January.
By January.
Probably by January, yeah.
But... that's all the news, so we should start getting to the Spider-Woman review, because although there's not as many cards as Hawkeye, she is definitely a more, we can go more in depth in her because of her deck building conditions, which, speaking of which, I will read Jessica Drew. Jessica Drew is what?
Because I've got the likes and sad face and such on here. There are 3 wows in this pack. And 4 cards have sad faces.
Out of the entire pack?
Out of the entire pack. All 16, 4 have, a quarter of them have sad faces. Only one of which is a hero card, though.
I bet I know which card it is, but I'm not going to say it yet.
All right.
We'll get to it.
Wow.
Wait, did I give it the sad face?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think I voted for this one. I know I voted for Hawkeye.
I'll check. All right, okay. So yeah, let's go to the...
I know I voted for
Jessica Drew. Is a alter ego, 3 recovery, shield and spy, hand size of 6, hit points of 11, so that's a little on the higher side. Double agent, choose 2 aspects instead of 1 during deck building. This is mandatory, this is not optional. you must include an equal number of cards from those aspects in your deck. So if you're going for 40 cards, you're either going to have, you're going to have an odd number of basics, basically. So usually on average, it's going to be one or three. But with an action, look at the top card of any deck, limit once per round. This is not limited to any, like, you could do a player deck, invocation deck if you wanted to. I don't know why you would do it. Experimental weapon for me.
Scheme deck.
Yeah. The quest deck or the stage deck or scheme deck or whatever, but again, why would you?
The side scheme deck from Red Skull.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying like the main scheme. You could look at the main scheme deck too.
Any special deck that anybody has.
You can look at it. So let's say we get like a hero who has, I don't know, a deck for something. I can't think of an example off the top of my head. You can look at it. So it's look at the top card of any deck. You know, if you're playing Hulk ally, you could look at the top of your deck and be like, oh, that's a mental, not use Hulk this turn.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at what your boost card is or what you're going to take from Taskmaster if you flip. I think it's a pretty okay ability. It's not like flashy, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, Jessica has a really flat, like this, like health points is pretty solid and great recovery, but her strength isn't going to be really on the hero card. I'd say her strength comes from all her hero cards.
I think her strength comes from her double agent ability.
Like that,
that's the most exciting part about her.
And the double agent the rest is, of her
is good too.
Is the best part about this.
The Project Tahiti deck. I can agree. This ability alone is worth the price of admission.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a little speculation to the future. Do you think we're ever going to get a hero who can include all four aspects, obviously with limitations on that? Do you think that's possible?
Yes.
What limitation? But it's going to happen.
And it has to have something, because she's already super amazing with just two aspects. If it was no limit on four, that would be crazy. But no, I mean, the thing we're going to talk about later with deck building is basically what her alter ego is. But 11's on the high end. That's the same stats as Captain America, so.
Yeah. Right, Do you think they got any WoW or sad faces?
Probably a WoW for just the double agent alone.
Sure. Nope. We just got 13 likes here.
You know, it's really funny because when everyone saw that, when the box art was spoiled and everyone saw Hawkeye, and they were like, oh, why Spider-Woman? And everyone's complaining that we were getting her, and then we got her, and everyone's like, oh, she's my favorite hero now. And like, I mean, rightfully so, she's awesome. I think that's just funny that, like, don't judge it until you see it. So, but Matt, do you want to read the hero card?
Sure thing. We got Spider-Woman, who is unique, which, well, I mean, I'm not sure if there's a non-unique hero, which would be interesting. One thwart, one attack, one defense. Hand size of 5 with 11 hit points. The Avenger and the Spy trait. Right now, this seems pretty weak, but here's her superhuman agility. Interrupt. When you play an aspect card, Spider-Woman gets +1 thwart, +1 attack, and +1 defense until the end of the round. Limit once per round for each aspect. I think the important thing to note is it's for the entire round, so if you get a boost, you'll get the boost in the villain phase when you're defending as well.
Yeah, and if you play a card, like a protection card in the villain phase that you didn't play in the hero phase, like protection at all, you'll get the boost. So for counterpunch, if you haven't played a protection card and you counterpunch in the villain phase, you get the, because it's when you play an aspect card, you get the +1 attack before counterpunches checks for your attack value.
Yeah.
So, like, and also, that means you can get her stats up to 5-5-5 at the very, like, at the max with her ability, but you get it higher with other effects.
I have to get a counterpunch off with a 5. It felt great.
Yeah, if you hit 5, it feels amazing. If you hit 5 and can ready her, then it feels phenomenal. Yeah. She's so fun. Like, also, I think that is competition for one of my favorite hero arts in the game.
Yeah.
Pretty good, yeah.
I want honestly, like, she's my favorite hero overall, just this ability, because, like, it's so simple. It's not even an ability, it's a trigger.
Right, it's and, so elegant.
Yeah, it's just so easy to create interesting play patterns, because like, I'm like, do I play this other second protection card that's really good, or do I instead play like this leadership card so I can get extra stats?
Yeah, and it also incentivizes low curve decks, which when I said on average your basic card amount will be like 1 or 3 is because if you run a really low curve and you don't need those double resources and you can just use the power ups instead, it becomes really good.
So do we think this got any wows or
set faces? I think it got a wow.
It has to have a wow. One of the hero cards has to have one of the wows.
No set faces.
No wow. We got 13 likes once again.
Wow.
As above, so below.
Okay.
Well, I mean, at least she got all likes.
Yeah.
But it's Ben, a very likable hero. Do you want to read the ally we spoiled?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I do. Okay, so this is Captain Marvel, aka Carol Danvers. She's a 4-cost ally with 2 thwart, 2 attack, and 3 HP. She has 1 consequential damage for each. She's Avenger trade and has a wild resource. And you're like, okay, so she's a pretty standard ally so far. Her response is, after Captain Marvel uses a basic power, draw 1 card. So every time you attack or thwart with her, you get to draw a card. Which is amazing.
This feels great with Inspiring Presence and like Get Ready. Or even Sky Cycle.
For, and, oh yeah. You know, First Aid, Med Team.
Yeah.
Inspiring Presence.
Yes. Man, I want to play Sky Cycle with Med Team out. That would be just so amazing.
And to call back to the game I was playing against Taskmaster in the crossover, I played her on the last turn. I think we have 3 Inspiring Presences. Then I say, you know, I'm going to put Sky Cycle because she... Inspiring Presence because she was inspired as well. So it's like, okay, attack for 3, attack for 3, attack for 3. And just keep drawing cards, drawing more cards. And it feels so satisfying.
Good. It's so good.
Yeah, plus if you can... You know, reduce the cost of those Inspiring Presence with, like, I don't know, a helicarrier or something, and then just replaces itself.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
The one drawback of her is she is a 4-cost, non-aspected card, so it's really hard to buff up your Spider-Man stats the turn you play her.
Yeah.
And, you know, her hero is also really popular, too.
Really good hero.
Yeah.
Like She-Hulk, though, I think the ally is better than the hero.
How dare you.
I think the thing about, well, the alter ego can pass the Spider-Woman player cards, which I think is what you're going to want to do. You definitely want to pass her some cards. But, yeah, I mean, if you can get her down, get her down. Because she will improve your next couple turns phenomenally. Even without healing, she's an ally you want to use to her fullest. I think
it depends on the deck and the situation. Like, I've built decks that are just focused on abusing her. I've also seen decks that are just like, oh, I just want to play as many cheap cards as I can. Cheap aspect cards to get her really high, Spider-Woman really high.
Well, if you play Captain Marvel... And those decks,
Captain Marvel's worse. She's not bad, but she's worse.
But if you play those decks and you play Captain Marvel, that'll help your next couple of turns.
Yeah.
Get those.
You mentioned that, like, getting her stats up isn't the end-all be-all of playing Spider-Woman, because, like, getting her up to 2 is a normal hero thing, and then you're playing more for the advantage of being able to mix 2 different aspects together.
Right. Like,
Captain Marvel being a good card.
Just playing 1 aspect cards gets you to average hero stats, which is 6. Playing 2 aspect cards gets you above average hero stats. And, like, if you have ready, like, let's say you throw protection in, I would always probably throw in something like Indomitable just to get extra uses of those ready or fridge of those stats, and also get, you know, the Indomitable is a cheap card.
Here's my basic protection list. 2 armor vests, electrostatic armor, then 3 Indomitable, 3 desperate defense. And that's basically most of it.
Yeah, I think mine, I do Indomitable, Counterpunch, Desperate Defense.
Oh, yeah, Counterpunch is too. I forgot that.
Yeah, Counterpunch is so good with Spider-Woman because she gets the 3 and sometimes four or five even. But
yeah.
How do we get to those cards easier? With some finesse.
Yeah. Oh, do you think she got a WoW or sad face?
I hope she got a WoW.
I don't think she got a sad.
But I don't think she got a WoW. 8 likes, but she had 4 hearts and 1 WoW.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I'm
respect.
Surprised. All right, so finesse.
Yeah. So let's finesse these aspect cards. It's a 2-cost condition. It's an upgrade. With the mental icon and hero resource, exhaust finesse, generate a wild resource for an aspect card. This has to be hands down probably one of the best hero resource cards, just because you can use it for over half of your deck.
Oh yeah,
and with her especially, it's way more than that, because majority of her hero cards are aspect cards too. So this card literally just becomes, you need a resource, here's a resource. You need a specific kind of resource, here's a wild. The only thing is, this doesn't work for villain attachments, but so what? Because Spider-Woman.
I haven't played Spider-Woman. There's two types of game. Games where you get this out early, and games where you get this at the very end. Because when you get this out, it just moves your resources so well that you're regularly getting up to 3 in all stats, at least.
Yeah, like, if you thought God of Thunder and Asgard was important for Thor, this card is game-changing the earlier you get it. Because how much it affects your turns.
I decided to try give a dropkick a try, and it's like, you know, I'll give it a try. It might be fun. And then I found out, hey, 2 finesse and a Quinn carrier, you get to play this guaranteed.
Yep. And it replaces itself and stuns an enemy. And I've used finesse on cards that we'll talk about later. Press the advantage and that other one.
Yeah,
clear the area. And it really is just as exhaust this, do 2 damage or remove 2 threat, and replace it in your hand. Place a card in your hand, which is just, it's so good for her. It really is. It's
A hero who basically revolves around playing cards, you want resources to play those cards.
Right, especially when those...
You're not like Iron Man.
Especially when it's a wild resource for any kicker effects. But...
Are any wows or sad faces, do you think?
No sad faces, but I don't think there's any wows.
Yep, you're right. It's 13 likes and hearts.
Yeah. Also, there is 2 of those in her set. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Matt, I believe you're next with the apartment.
Yep. We got Jessica Drew's apartment, which is a 1-cost unique support, the location trait, and a physical resource. Alter Ego action, exhaust Jessica Drew's apartment. Search the top 5 cards of your deck for an aspect card and add to your hand. Shuffle your deck. It's a general, like, we get one of these cards in most heroes where you get to draw cards somehow. This gives you a bit more choice, but with the restriction of it has to be an aspect, which, to be fair, should be about 3/4 of your deck at least.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just
not a big restriction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... It's selective card draw.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, not only that, but, like, let's say I flip down to Alter Ego. I can either look and get a card that I know I want for the next turn, or I can get a card that I know I don't want to see. Like, let's say I draw my 2nd copy of Armored Vest or something. Mm-hmm. It's in there. I can just take that and discard it. That way I won't see it. I can discard it at the end of the turn.
This card can also get power of, whatever, power of aggression, power of protection, whatever aspect you're running.
Yeah.
Which is actually adds a lot of flexibility, because this can semi-reliably get you a 2 resource card. Like, not very reliably, but
it has maybe it's because I play Protection Spider-Woman a lot. Like, my biggest knock is she doesn't generally want to be an Alter Ego, but this is a nice card to reward you when you're an Alter Ego, which I think every hero should have at least 1 thing like this.
She can confuse, which makes her, covers for her going into Alter Ego more.
I can tell you from my experience with her, at least because so far I've only really played the pre-con, but that was through the campaign on standard, is I would play pheromones. That turn, through the stun, like he'd be stunned. The next turn, flip back, especially if I had this out, use this, have a bigger card hand size to go into the next turn, where I go into the next turn with seven cards in hand, and like with this, after I use this, going into hero form. And like I found, like with her, because of stuff like pheromones and how reliably you can see pheromones with this, that flipping the alter ego is something that I can just do. But granted, I wasn't playing protection outside of her two protection card.
It's definitely on the deck.
A good effect if you go to alter ego. It's definitely something that's worth it. Card draw is always good. Selective card draw is great with someone whose turns depend on efficiency.
So wows or sad faces?
Probably no wows, probably no sad faces either. I mean, it's a good card, it's just not super flashy.
Yep, 13 likes.
Yep. Lucky number 13.
Yep. I'm Ben, I believe you're next.
Yep. This is Venom Blast. It's a 2-cost event. It's an attack and superpower trade. It has an energy resource. Hero action attack, deal 5 damage to an enemy. And this card is both a Spire Woman card and an aggression card. So it triggers her ability, her Spire Woman ability, superhuman agility. It also counts as one of her 15. You're always going to have this in your deck, even if you don't pick aggression as one of your two aspects.
Yeah. And if you have.
I love playing this card, it feels so chunky.
Right, and if you have something like Power of Aggression, that's an aggression card. You can use it on that.
Yep.
And just Matt, I have a question for you. How different is her Venom Blast from someone like Miles, who has like the electric Venom thing? Is it like
how? I don't have much exposure to her Venom Blast, but Miles is it's a powerhouse. Like it's basically. In the comics, it's the thing where he pops it out and takes out the villain. I think he's one shot pretty much all the major villains with it if he gets to touch them.
Wow.
So, he's really like that power. His is that power.
Oh yeah, the comics says, oh, he struggles. Oh, and there's the Venom Blast, and they're done.
Okay.
Wow. So took out Green Goblin. He took out most of them.
So hers is probably not as strong then.
No.
Okay. But I meant more like. Because how different, like, because I know in the Spider-Verse movie, they made it seem more like electricity with Miles. Is hers the same way?
Yeah, it's bioelectricity, I think. Honestly, I am not entirely sure. Again, I have no real exposure to her. And yeah, I think it's just bioelectric that doesn't actually damage things.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Well, regardless, this is a really good card. 2 for 5 is just solid.
Yeah,
it's a really solid card.
Wows or sad faces?
No sad, but no wows either.
We got 2 sad faces.
Wow,
that's crazy.
Yeah, I was very shocked to find there were sad faces here. I just don't. This is just a really solid card.
Probably
I
think just because it's the
worst of her aspect cards. I think that's why.
I don't think it is though. I mean,
I think it's the worst, but it's.
Oh, I guess
doesn't mean
it's
bad.
Still good.
Yeah,
it's
I guess someone
really
has
good.
To come last in the Olympics. I guess. But,
yes. But, it's a really good card, but compared to her other three, it's not exciting.
Yeah.
This is probably why I got sad face.
Yeah. All right. Pheromones.
Yes, I get to read this. This is my favorite card in her set. Pheromones is a 2-cost event. Leadership. As well as a Spider Woman card with a physical icon, superpower traded, and hero action, stun and confuse an enemy. Simple and sweet, and this card is literally amazing. It's
so
powerful.
Good.
Like, you take this to a solo game, and you just bought yourself 2 free turns, and you can be an alter ego in one of those turns.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just...
Yeah, no, this is great.
Even if you don't flip back to alter ego, it's advance proofing. if you don't flip back.
Even if you get one stun or confused, it's still like borderline worth it. Like yeah, if someone else especially stuns them.
You know, you also get her ability right. too. But like let's say you're playing with Hawkeye and you pheromones. Now there even though if Hawkeye can still play his arrows and they'll just do more damage.
Right.
Assuming he doesn't have a better arrow to play, which, you know, he might not.
Right. It's a good card. Like, yeah. It also can do it on any enemy, so maybe there's some, like, mini boss.
Not Ronin, because he can't be stunned.
The sleeper, you can do it. That's pretty solid.
Yeah,
I guess.
If the villain's already confused or whatever.
I feel like there's almost no reason to ever do this on anyone but
the villain. Not yet. I think there could be.
Unless, so, like,
it's good optionality to have, at least.
Do you think this got a wow?
Yes, definitely. That card's sure. amazing.
Yeah, well, you would think that, Ben, because you
did. Oh, yeah, because I gave it a wow.
Yeah.
This was, like, you know, a month ago or whatever, so.
Yeah.
I can barely remember, but yeah, I'm pretty sure I did specifically have this a while. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, do you want to read the next card?
Yeah, we got Contaminant Immunity, which is a 2-cost protection and Spider-Woman event with the superpower trait and energy resource. Hero action, heal 3 damage from Spider-Woman and give her a tough status card. Having gone into some rough straits of Spider-Man where I start scenarios with low health on the expert campaign, this just feels amazing to because it already heals you up a nice chunk and then tough.
Yeah.
Except piercing's a thing now.
Oh, and yeah. So piercing is so annoying with this.
You can usually get around it. It can be good to soak up some indirect damage, especially like against Crossbones, even though he has piercing almost all the time. He also has some really big indirect damage cards.
Yeah. Also, so if you're playing Risky Business, which I actually did play this against I played the precon against Expert Risky Business just because I didn't feel like deck building and she's good enough. So,
right.
And I would play this and then flip Norman. Which, let me tell you, her high attack zooms through those counters. So you can let them run a little high. But I just play this, flip Norman, or do this after flipping Norman to heal some of that damage if I was already at full health. And then just have a tough card. It's really good. It's just a good card in general.
It's
and, you know,
real nice sustain. It allows you not to flip to alter you if you don't want to, usually.
And again, power of protection makes this. You can play it with that too, so.
What do you think? No. Wows or sad face?
Probably no wows, but no sad faces either.
You are right. It's a nice solid card. It's not pheromones, but it's pretty close, I guess.
It's pretty close to pheromones.
Just getting a tough status card is good, especially if we get. Like, everyone complained about how bad invulnerability was, but now you get 3 heal and a tough status card, and yeah, it's a hero card, so obviously it's going to be better.
And it costs one less.
And it costs one less, so. But now the only card that costs, that doesn't cost 2, Ben, would you like to read Inconspicuous?
Okay, Inconspicuous is a 1-cost event. It is skill and portrait with a energy resource, insert Justice, Spider-Woman and Justice card. Hero action thwart, remove a total of 3 threat from among schemes in play. So this is like the most efficient threat removal event.
Man, this would be so good for Wasp.
Ever.
System down is technically strong, more efficient.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, that's conditional.
If you remember how Guard was ruled with melee, that you couldn't target the villain if there was a Guard minion in front of you too. Wasn't it? If you play melee, you can't hit the villain with it.
I thought if you defeated the villain, you could, but maybe I'm wrong.
It might be an outdated ruling that I saw, but if there's a scheme with a crisis icon, since this is simultaneous, you can't remove it from the main scheme if there's a crisis icon in play.
Right, I agree with that, I think.
Typically you'll be able to get rid of the scheme with the crisis with this on its own. So. Mm-hmm.
And you have those schemes like with one threat left, and then you get, oh, okay, well, let's spread it out a bit so it's not inefficient, because a lot of ways you throw it is usually like two.
Yeah.
Two minimum.
That's definitely a way to maximize efficiency.
Yeah, which is really good in multiplayer, because you can set up the schemes exactly how you other people want them.
Yeah, and I think that's like one of the main themes of the hero itself is maximizing efficiency.
Yeah, I haven't looked at all these aspect cards. Like, her real power is just because, like, these are all really above-average cards.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels so impactful to play. It's that her fun moment is when you play a card and it feels good to play her cards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I think we still have one more card, but it's not an aspect card, so I'll say this now. Carlos said to us, or at least said, I believe Spider-Woman's cards are the best hero set, and I would completely agree. Like, out of fun, like, they're above average cards, it's always impactful when you play. Every single card you play is impactful, either in what it does and boosting your stats. It's just she has the best set because she's the most, I think, synergistic with her set, and her set is the most fun and impactful.
It's also the most notably defensive hero we've had so far, because like, she can boost her defense up fairly well to 3 regularly, plus she has 2 stuns and 2 toughs in her cards.
Yeah, and we do have one more card that I will read, which is the self-propelled glide, which is 1 cost event superpower traded with a mental icon. Now this is just a Spider-Woman card. Hero action, ready Spider-Woman. She gains aerial until the end of the round. Aerial doesn't do anything yet, but supposedly it will soon.
Chase them down. Or not chase them down.
Get over here. But like,
there's 3 copies of this.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Also, the aerial feels a bit more flavorful, although it's not flying, it's falling with style.
Yeah.
That's why she only gets it for till the end of the round.
The ready is amazing. It feels bad that you can't, like, you know, finesse this, but you finesse the card that you play so that you can play this. Right. It's just, it's so good. Like, if you have 3s in your stats, readying and just getting 2 uses out of those stats, and then maybe a 3rd use in the villain phase, is just amazing. It's just an amazing feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you get up to 3 Thor attack, I feel like I'd probably play this if I didn't have something better to do.
Yeah, like, yeah,
it's a good card.
If I played, I don't know, like, a morale boost, because that gives her +2/+2 if that's the first leadership card you played, I could totally see using this. Morale boost and this is just 3s in the stats. But even if not, like, you know, play this. Like, if I'm going with a morale boost, play a morale boost, maybe a skilled strike, and then ready her.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Oh, skilled strike with her seems so good. Get +3 attack.
Yeah.
Oh, solid. Man.
So do we think this got any wows or sad faces?
Probably no wows or sad faces. It's a good card. I just don't think it's super flashy.
It has one. It's our last wow in the pack.
Oh, wow.
Oh. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, would you like to talk about Spider-Girl? Tie into using? Will.
Yes, we have Spider-Girl, who is Anya Corzin, not Mayday Parker, who is one of my favorite heroes. 2 cost ally with 1 thwart, 2 attack, and 2 health, 1 consequential damage each. She has an energy resource and the Avenger trait. Response, after you place Spider-Girl from your hand, stun and confuse a minion.
This card's great. Even if you don't get that ability, 2 for 2 attack is great.
Solid.
Yeah, that's
and then you block.
The ability is surprisingly relevant.
Yeah.
The more players you have,
it just nullifies a minion for a couple turns.
And, you know, like, the sleeper doing that. Like, it's a good ability, but I feel like I would still play her, even if I didn't trigger that ability, just because it's two damage for two and a block.
I think she's the second best two cost ally behind Maria Hill.
Way behind Maria Hill.
Maria Hill, but
she's the best non-godly ally.
Like, I mean, we've been seeing with leadership, you have to limit how powerful the allies are, other than, you know, Maria Hill, because of how focused they are around them and, like, recurring them. In aggression, I feel like the allies we've been seeing are on average, just better allies.
Yeah.
Except, you know, Maria Hill.
Aggression overall has the best allies.
I've been putting together a deck for leadership and aggression, just because, like, we've got a bunch of nice Avengers here. Let's throw them in and use them with, Avengers Assemble.
Yeah, like, this with something like team training, you know, and Avenger, not even Avengers Assemble, but, like, a lead from the front turn. Even Avengers Assemble, like, you just strengthen numbers, and then Avengers Assemble with her. It just... It's like in Spider-Woman, it's great. I think, but in like almost any hero, it's great. You know, you're playing Thor and you can't kill a minion this turn. Well, why don't you throw her down, stun and confuse it?
This is really good in like Thor and She-Hulk and Hulk with Earth's Mightiest Heroes. This is a cheap Avenger you can play to ready them.
It's a card I completely forgot about for a second. Earth's Mightiest Heroes too. And, like, even the one port can be relevant sometimes, too. It's not great, but it can be relevant.
Do we think there's any sad faces? Keeping in mind, out of the six cards left, three of them have sad faces.
No,
I can't see this card having sad faces. It's so good.
She's very good.
You are right. 11 likes.
Well, I wonder what cards have... Oh, I can guess one of the cards that has a
sad face. I can guess some cards.
I kind of wish we could have voted on the reprints for this pack, because... the reads in this pack are pretty mediocre. I can see combat
training. 11 reprints.
You know, total. I can see the combat training in the heroic. I can see it. You know, she wants the booster stats. Fine. But tag team? What the hell?
I think that's the worst.
We don't need
tag team's worst. Like interrogation room, I can buy that because, hey, we're combining aggression with justice. It's the perfect time.
It's just... What the hell?
Tag team just doesn't seem to fit her at all.
Yeah, right, personally, I would have wanted one of each of the upgrades and then give us three copies of a new card in each of the aspects, because there's just a little...
I feel like there could have been way more new cards. Even if they did a reprint, I feel like almost any other card would have been better than tag team.
Yeah,
agree.
Whatever. especially... I know, it's whatever. But, like, the cost... You know, she wants a low curve, and throwing 2-3 cost cards in there? What the hell?
Let's keep ranting about that.
So here's one of our new events.
I believe this is Ben.
Okay. Oh, good. Press the advantage. It's a one-cost event with the attack trait. It has a mental resource. Hero action attack. Deal 2 damage to an enemy. If that enemy is stunned or confused, draw 1 card. So it's a great combo with Spider Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Or combo, yeah.
This card is so good.
Good with pheromones.
Pheromones.
I put together my Stunlock deck with like using aggression and different stuff, and this just delivers a bunch of just ping damage to get through attacks.
And like, you know, any hero who has like stun or confuse in their set, this is pretty okay for. Hawkeye. Absolutely loves these because of how much stun and confuse he has options to. And then, you know, like Captain America, I've gotten plenty of use out of this because of his stun.
Yeah.
You know,
fantastic in Captain America.
Like, even keeping in mind that the card draw means it's effectively doing 2 damage for 1 card, it's also cycling through you through your deck faster, and cycling your deck is just amazing.
Right. And if you can, you know, use a cost reducer on this, it's really just replace a card in your hand, deal 2 damage. You know, and like Doctor Strange, he can get behind this card because it's cheap enough that he can play it and play his invocations and, you know, also get to draw more cards, which, you know, like he needed. He needed card draw.
Yeah.
I think he was lacking in it. I honestly do.
Yeah. The only thing I don't like about this card is the art. It's a comic panel, but it just, the Black Panther looks weird in it.
He looks mushy.
Yeah.
I think the art's like, I feel like it's too cute for the game than anything else. I don't think it's like that serious, but as a guard, I mean, you're even in multiplayer, there's a good chance someone is bringing some kind of stun or confuse. In
multiplayer, and it's like, almost always going to be on if you want it to be.
Right. Yeah. And you have access to it within her kit too if you're playing this with Spider Woman because of the pheromones.
A little bit awkward that you have to target someone stunned or confused. Like, you're really incentivized to target a stunned or confused enemy.
Yeah.
It's not great at clearing out little minions.
Yeah,
I found which is it pretty one good
drawback. It's not terrible though.
Yeah, I found it pretty solid in Ultron when you hit stage 3 and you just have a bunch of 2 health enemies. Mm. I found it like even if you don't get the draw, it's pretty. It can.
When I was building a bunch of decks for, I found my biggest problem was actually aggression for filling up the cards because like I just wasn't sure what to include. Including knees and some drop kicks just felt is actually one of the simplest ways to really fill it out. I found.
Yeah, so like. Also, this card, just because of how cheap it is, already it helps build your curve better, and it also it helps fill out the aspect.
It's
highly synergistic with Yarnbjorn too, because you get to play a cheap attack and then trigger Yarnbjorn another time.
Yeah, I think this is going to be, I don't want to say a staple of aggression decks, but I think this is going to be in a lot of aggression decks for a while.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's fair.
All right. Unlike, so, do you think it got any sad faces?
No.
No.
It got 4.
Really?
Wow, that's slightly more than I thought it would.
That's
That's
kind of disappointing. I mean, like, was there comments?
I think it's amazing.
No comments.
Well, here's the card that I think is the worst of the new cards, but whatever. Piercing Strike. 2 cost event with physical. It's an attack, hero action, attack. Deal 3 damage to an enemy. This attack gains piercing. For those of you who don't know, piercing is discard any tough status cards from the target before dealing damage. I love how it says tough status cards as if they can have more than one. I guess that's future proofing, but like.
Happen theoretically.
Strangers see a villain where you can stack up a bunch of tough cards.
That would be so annoying. But piercing would be much better. But like, this is just a haymaker majority of the time. Maybe once in a blue moon, this is better than haymaker. But almost all the time, it's a damn haymaker. And I don't put haymaker in my deck.
If it had 4 attack, it'd be at least okay. We got solid attack card, and then piercing for the bonus of.
Right.
When you need it.
If it was like 4 attack and then gains piercing if you used X resource to pay for it, I'd get behind that card. I would play it.
I think even that would be good, frankly.
Right. But the only thing that makes us better than Haymaker is it has a physical, but even still, there's better physical cards to put in my deck now than this. I don't see myself almost ever running this. Unless I know for a fact that the villain has consistent ways to gain tough. If they only have tough, the keyword toughness, it's not worth it to me. Like Kang, to me, I don't think it's worth it to put if he just has the keyword tough. If he has more cards in a set that are like give the villain a tough status card, I can get behind that. Crossbones has that. But even him, it's only 2 cards out of his ginormous encounter deck.
If the villain is like consistent gaining tough, I would just put in more 1 damage effects.
Right. The only
ways to ping.
The only scenario so far that I can think of where it actually would actually be pretty okay is Zola because of those minions, but they don't even kill the minions. And Wrecking Crew because Pile Driver, not Pile. Is it Pile Driver? I don't know. I don't remember the damn villain it's names. I don't driver. Play the scenario ever. But the one who gains tough a lot. But even then, it's like...
I guess he has tough and retaliate, so that's sort of awkward, but... Yeah.
But that's what makes the tough so awkward with him. But if you have piercing, then it's not as bad. I don't know. I think this card is mediocre.
Yep, it's got 5 sad faces and has the only 5 likes, the fewest of any cards in the pack.
I think this is the worst card in the box.
It's kind of sad because that's a really nice artwork for the attack too. Yeah,
if that was like a Thor hero card artwork, I'd love it. Yeah. But that's just
Oh well.
I mean, not every card's gonna be a super great, but also aggression needs some good cards. So
yeah, we're looking for some haymaker plays, but what we're getting is just haymakers.
I think the designers misheard us when we said we want some more haymaking plays, and they just gave us a reprint of Haymaker but with piercing.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, do you want to read Juicy Justice Spider-Man?
Yeah, we got Spider-Man, the one and only Peter Parker. Well, not only, because there's a whole Spider-Verse of him, but he's a 5-cost ally with 2 thwart, 2 attack, 1 consequential each, 4 HP, mental resource, and the adventure trait. And response, after you place Spider-Man from your hand, remove 3 for each player threat from a side scheme. This race basically nukes any side scheme.
This card's so fun.
Almost always.
When you can hit table with this, it's so fun.
Yeah. I was like, we're playing Red Skull, and it's like, oh, take it. Side scheme deleted.
Yeah. Red House,
I was
goodbye.
Having a lot of fun with in the campaign, or Iron Man, when I was playing against Red Skull.
Like, especially, like, hilarious. You know, you have those, what's the one that's 3 per player? Is it in Claw? Is it the Mortal Claw?
Yeah.
The one you start with? Yeah. If you
there are a lot of 3
first
per
turn in like a 4-player game, just drop down Spider-Man and nuke that side scheme, that's awesome. But I think in general, I don't know how often I'll see him played because of the 5-cost. 5-cost is a lot. 5-cost is a lot. But it's such a good effect for 5-cost.
It's a good effect attached to a good ally. But
the only problem is
expensive.
The only problem is it's a side scheme. If you could do this from a scheme, oh, he'd be in almost every Justice deck ever.
I think it would be busted. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. I feel like. I feel like it would. Yeah. I don't know.
It's really good.
One thing I hate is just how like he scales so significant with the player in his bonus, but his cost is always the same.
Yeah. If his cost was like. I don't even know how they would do that, but if his cost was like, I don't know, 1 per player.
I think you just put him like 2 and then say he gets +1 cost for each other player.
Yeah.
That'd be awkward because at 2 cost with no ability and these stats, he'd be busted.
Yeah. Like in solo. I don't know how to go about it, but I mean, as an ally, he is really good.
Do you think he's our last sad face?
Yes.
Yes.
I think so.
He's got 3 sad faces. And we have a comment here. It was a sad face and then, well, crying, and then 5 cost, which makes sense to me because the 5 cost, it makes it really hard to actually play him.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the only, like we saw this when Heimdall came out. A lot of people just, like, automatically disliked or disowned Heimdall because of his cost. And, like, Heimdall's really good, especially in solo. If you can get that cost, but Spider-Man gets better in multiplayer. But if you're not, it's also one, it's from hand, so you can't make the call him and get this ability. Like the leadership player, you can't emergency teleporter him and get this ability. Like, if there was ever a card that like searched up, I don't know, an ally from your deck and then like put it into play, and at the end of the round, discarded it or something, it wouldn't get the ability. Basically it's just you only get his ability one way, and that's playing him from hand, which is 5 cost, and that is a lot.
And you have to, there has to be a side scheme in play that you want to get rid of,
right? Because it's like
has a lot right on it.
Like if you get rid of the prisoner camps in Red Skull, and first of all, if you tried to put him into play, you wouldn't get the ability because it's not from hand. But even if you could, you just had to get rid of a side scheme to get him into play.
Yeah,
but that's
he's
that
good
line.
In Red Skull and multiplayer Red Skull. I think he's very good if you want to tech against that.
Yeah, I think if we're in our Grandmaster game, I think someone will probably run him just because of how good he is.
But he's good. He's good. I just think he's also very expensive.
Also,
so you have to think about that when putting him into your deck.
There's so much good Spider-Man art in this game already that they didn't need to add another good Spider-Man art. I mean, there's never
enough. I'm not complaining.
Oh, no, I'm not. There's never enough good Spider-Man art. But, oh, that's such a good art piece.
Oh, I love it.
He's just photogenic.
It might be my favorite Spider-Man art in the game.
I kind of wish that was his hero art.
I know, right?
It's so, so good. And that's commission too. It's not like it's a comic art. It's commission. At least I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They that's credited awful. It. So. But moving on to the next card, I believe that is Ben with the Skilled Investigator. Okay.
Yeah, Skilled Investigator is a zero-cost upgrade with the skill trait and the physical resource. Play under any player's control, max one per player. Hero response, after a side scheme is defeated, exhaust Skilled Investigator to draw one card. So, that's pretty good. It's really... This is an interesting card because it's so cheap. But it's also like very limited in triggering it because you have to defeat a side scheme and you have to be in hero mode.
I feel
which
like
in multiplayer can be tricky.
Yeah, but if you're in like, I feel like in solo, I might just include one of these just because if when you get the effect, maybe. The second you trigger it once, it replaced itself, and then you trigger it more than that, it just gets better. I think. Honestly, I think this is a really good card. It can be tricky to line up in multiplayer, but also at the same time, card draw.
Right. Don't mistake. I'm not saying this card's bad. I think it's quite good. I think it's a very good card. I don't think it's as busted as I thought it was when I first looked at it. Because I thought it was absolutely broken. Then after playing it, I'm like, oh, this is kind of balanced.
I think that's probably the best description of the card. Is it's not as busted as when I first looked at it.
Like, there are slightly more limitations than it looks like at first glance.
I mean, honestly, from this card, all I'm saying is Justice is continuing in its march of getting really good cards. Justice just keeps getting good cards.
It is awkward in some scenarios. It's done with a lot of side schemes.
I feel like,
especially in solo.
I feel like ever since Rhino scenario and Wrecking Crew, which like we don't count Wrecking Crew, every scenario has had a pretty good amount of side schemes after Rhino.
I agree. I think there've been more side schemes after the core set. At least it's felt that way.
Well, I mean, in Claw, you had, I want to say, three. His deck. And then Ultron had
three as well.
Yeah, and then there's the modulars. And then Goblin. Both Goblin Snares have a bunch in there. And then there's a lot more, I feel like, in the campaign box. So I feel like this card is pretty solid. I mean, yeah, there's not much to say other than, like, card draw. Was great in a card
game. You plan on getting rid of. It's also a little awkward. You have to draw a card after getting rid of the side scheme because oftentimes you want to draw a card so that you can get rid of the side scheme.
Unless you're playing this next card, Clear the Area, which is the one cost event with a Thwart trait and a mental icon. Hero action Thwart. Remove two threat from a scheme. If this removes the last threat on that scheme, draw a card. Yeah, this card's good. it's
tricky to get right.
Yeah, it's a little harder to use in like four player, but like in solo, oh my god, this card is amazing. And if you get rid of a side scheme with it, well, now you get to draw two cards, and you basically just replace that entirely if you had the previous card we were talking about.
In solo, this is often just remove two threat, draw a card.
Yeah,
this is amazing. Amazing.
I wonder if this is going to be a common theme we see in Justice of if you remove the last threat, do this.
I would like that as a nice theme.
I feel like it would just be harder to pull off in like higher player counts, but like at the same time, it would be more rewarding when you do.
Yeah.
There are going to be more side schemes, generally speaking, as you add more players.
Yeah, but also, it is an event, so you could do this on someone else's turn.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If they remove down to two threat left on the scheme, and then you just play us on their turn.
And you can communicate with people in multiplayer and do more coordination to get threat to the right levels.
Which is one of the best things about this game, is the interaction between players.
This card is also amazing in Ms. Marvel. is so good.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, that's...
Because she can use shrink and remove 4 threat and nuke a skin and draw a card. It's so good.
Yeah, and then she can return it to hand. You know?
Yeah, if you need to, yeah.
It's cheap and it draws cards situationally, mm-hmm. but even if you don't get the card draw, it's better than that basic card that we just got.
Yeah. Oh, it's all good. It's yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of feeling like 4 justice is not as needed anymore.
I replaced 4 justice for clear the area in my Miss Marvel Justice deck and maybe some other decks.
I'm really glad because 4 justice now is just, it's something that's, it's a solid baseline for justice, and if you're playing like a mental resource deck, it's good. Like even in combination clear the area for multiplayer, that's really nice.
It's still
but
really
you
hard.
Can swap it out for other stuff like counterintelligence, under surveillance, etc. And they work just as well.
Yeah, I like that 4 Justice is still a good card. It's just now we're seeing more options that, like, maybe we don't need 4 Justice. And again, this one cycles your deck, which I think is one of the most important things in the game is getting through your deck and getting back to your best cards. It's just, I think this hero deck, I mean, with the exception of Spider-Man, though, he is a good card. He's just not, you know... He's not going to be as popularized as the rest of them. If we're just seeing the same trend that Justice keeps getting good cards, like consistently getting good cards, that it makes every, like, I feel like building Justice is one of the hardest decks to thin outside of a defense deck with protection, because oh my god, there's so many good defense options now.
Justice is interesting. There's a lot of cards.
There's so many
good
cards. Like
there's just a bunch of good cards. They're just like kind of overlapping, do the same thing, but they're all really good. So it's hard to pick which one you want.
And that is actually all of the new cards, which there really wasn't that many new ones for Spider-Woman, but compared to Hawkeye had a ton. But that also gives us time to talk about deck building with Spider-Woman, our advice, what we are looking at doing, stuff like that. So, Matt, seeing as you, Spider-Woman is probably, you know, I think your favorite hero now, how do you go about deck building with this hero?
Well, basically, I found something to do in every aspect except for protection and justice. I just can't really seem to find anything there that works together, but I think the main first thing is you got to figure out if you're a protection Spider-Woman or a normal Spider-Woman, because protection Spider-Woman really likes to, well, for one, she usually has a lower curve, but you also want to be able to double up so that you can defend, like, get your stats up to 3 or 4 and then defend with it as well in the same turn.
Yeah, I feel like when I'm deck building, like, I have built decks, I just haven't had the time to play them yet, is a lot of the time I go for low curve, and most of the time I cut the basic resource cards and just go with the power ups instead.
No, I generally like the resources. Like, the other way of building a deck is to find a specific combo, like Agent Coulson with the rapid response, which but, like, I generally agree with the low curve, but then I tried out Med Team with my Captain Marvel Voltron deck, and I actually managed to play Med Teams and still get up to like 3 in stats or even 4 on a few turns. Just once you get the resource engines out, she can really put those out.
Yeah, I think like the deck I'm tinkering with right now is a super aggression protection deck, you know, Counterpunch, Indomitables, Skilled Strikes, Press the Advantage. I'm trying to think of what other cards I was thinking about for it, but like cards that basically, if majority of my cost is under 2, then I'm not going to include those basic resource cards, because I have almost no... The only reasons why would be Finesse and Captain Marvel. Once I get Finesse down, the rest of my deck, I don't need those cards. And then Captain Marvel, at that point, with how low the cost curve is, she really doesn't do that much. But, I mean, in general, I think it's not as simple as picking your two favorite aspects and then just throwing your favorite cards in there, because there has to be some kind of fluidity within the deck and some kind of like synergy within it. Like, obviously the synergy is, you know, playing aspect cards, but like, you don't want to include like Vision or like Falcon and then also include someone like Nova and then have like almost no energy to power Nova, or like include Hulk ally and then all like mental icon. Like, you have to plan that. There has to be some kind of fluidness to the deck. Do you think she's the hardest hero to build for at this point?
Oh, easily. Like, I found the biggest thing is usually, especially protection, there's one aspect where you have too many cards and you're trying to figure out what to cut, but then another, I don't know what to add. I'm not sure what to add to synergize with this. You have to try a very fine line.
Yeah, and like, I guess if I were to pull up Marvel CDB right now and I wanted to build a deck with her, the first thing I would say the first thing you want to do is probably pick your aspects, but like obviously, but like not just your aspects, but what you want to do with those. So like I said, if I wanted to do a super aggressive deck, so I would go probably aggression, and then I would, how do I support that aggressive style? Now you could say something like cheap allies and leadership to just spam them for damage, or you know, do defending with protect, like the protection counterpunch thing, and you would go from there. Or you could like open the deck and be like, okay, well I kind of want to spam cheap allies and rapid response. Well, then I would go to leadership probably first, look at the allies I want to do, and then look at the other aspects and be like, okay, well what aspect do I think has the best allies that have like enters play abilities? And you know, I could go, you know, Agent Coulson and Injustice, or I could, you know, Spider Girl, even just playing someone as simple as like just getting Hulk back into play. It's all about like knowing what direction you want to take the deck in before you start just throwing cards in there, because if you just throw cards in there, it's not going to feel coherent.
Yeah, I think really you want to decide what you want your deck to do first, and then pick aspects. Unless you just are like, meh. I don't know. But yeah, what I've done every time is I've had like a cool idea, like I want to build a deck around Captain Marvel and keeping her on the table, so I'm going to play med team and buff a bunch of leadership buffs. Or I want to build a deck focused around killing minions and getting bonuses, so I'm going to play a Justice Aggression deck with Hall of Heroes and Interrogation Room. And those are the two decks I built with her. But, you know, they've had different focuses. So I think that's a really good place to start, is like, what can you do with the two different aspects?
Yeah, I think one of my favorite ones has been Aggression and Justice together. Like combining Stealth Strike with Chase Them Down, Hall of Heroes and all that.
Yeah.
So, and I think if I was going to do Justice and Protection together, it'd be kind of like more of a stalling kind of deck that just keep your threat down, keep the enemy from attacking your teammates, and I guess Electrostatic Armor as well would be the main stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And then let the rest of your team handle the fighting.
You can do like super stun lock type thing where you stun probably and confuse. Probably be
companion
lock
to Hawkeye, actually, now that I think about it, because Hawkeye, he's weak in Thor and he's weak in taking hits.
Yeah, the
perfect last counter to complement with the low damage of this deck would be.
What I can say to that is the Spider-Man deck that I recently built. It was a protection Spider-Man solo deck. The problem I was having was mainly threat control. And because it was supposed to be like Spider-Man defend big allies to do damage, and then like electrostatic armor to help ping and stuff. And the problem I was having was with Thor. Well, if you use Spider-Woman and just include some Justice cards, like, you know, Clear the Area, or what are some other good ones?
For Justice.
You know, yeah, for Justice. Beacon, if you want to go after the main scheme, use whatever the one is called, Counterintelligence. You know, she's a spy, too, if that matters. You could play espionage, but like also why bother playing espionage? You
play,
you play spycraft.
Spycraft, which is so fine.
Which would help encounter deck control, and then you can also do your slow. I would honestly call that the butter churn deck, if I did, just because of the, I don't know,
random sounds like name. A fun deck. I need to build that.
That
now.
That's something I would be interested in. Something you could also go something as simple as like, you could simple as a Hulk, ally Hulk leadership aggression deck, and just throw a bunch of use her alt. You'd probably want to flip back a lot to use her alter ego ability to see what Hulk's about to hit. There's so many possibilities with this hero that you really can do almost anything you want with her. You just have to put, there's more thought that's going to go into how you do that, because I can't just like throw a bunch of good cards together and expect it to play well.
Yeah. And your aspect cards go fast. You cannot have that many cards from each aspect.
Yeah. Like, it's on like, average going to be 11 or 12.
So you've got the basic resources.
If you have the basic resources, it's going to be 11 in each. If you have the, if you don't.
You have 12 in each.
12 in each is if you don't include the basic.
Yeah.
And hit 40.
And 11 is if 13 you include if you go 41.
I've seen people who've only included like 9 or 10 aspect cards and a bunch of basics, and I was like, what are you doing? Like,
depends, because like the resources, you get a Quinn Carrier and Helicarrier.
Even then, I'd rather just like, if I was playing, I'd rather just put Quinn Carrier and not the basic resources at that point. I don't know. I don't see a point to going under 11 cards. Now there's the ultimate achievement where you play all basic cards and see how far you can get with that, but like that's just a silly idea. Overall, majority of the time you're just going to want to you definitely want to have a good understanding of what you want to do before you actually attempt to build.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's pretty sufficient wrap-up of Spider-Woman. That is going to conclude our hero reviews for the box. We're going to get the scenario reviews sometime, especially now that we have no idea when Ant-Man's coming out, and we have Kang coming this Friday. So we'll get them in sometime, and then we're also going to we plan on trying to get another interview in, hopefully soon. So look up for that. But be sure to check out our social media. We have Facebook, Discord, and Patreon, where we post updates and connect with you, the listeners. We also have a YouTube channel with gameplay videos. The most recent on it, I think, is our Iron Man stream. We might have some more up soon since the box came out. Depends on what kind of time I have to play. Make sure to subscribe and like to keep up to date on the latest from Dexcelsior. Links to all these are in the description. Thank you for listening, and Matt, take us home.
Excelsior, onwards and upwards.